Blog Talk Radio.
Lovely morning. Thank God. Praise God. All of the creations on this earth, praise God. This morning we awaken to many different problems going on in the world, and it saddens us. But one of the things that we find that brings us joy is our belief system, the way we value our lives. These are important things that we must remember as we go through the problems of the day. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite, and I'm joining you live this morning from Arizona, beautiful state. And I'm also going to speak about a subject today that many people are concerned about, especially our adult learners. Our adult learners are experiencing a different level of stress in relationship to what's going on, the conflicts that are going on in the world today. And I've been inspired to discuss this openly with students since whenever I get over 3 to 4 implications that something is bothering students, whether it's anything from religious issues to gender equality to racism to whatever, I always ask the staff of White Apple Institute to help formulate a show that will help us to address some of those issues. Because even if one student is affected, it's worth it to discuss it and let them know that they're not alone in many of the thoughts that they're having about being stressed out and frustrated over the conflicts that are going on all over the world. Speaking of White Apple Institute, our sponsor of the show, okay, we're asking that in order to keep the radio show going, that you send in your donation. It not only helps the radio show to continue promoting interest in what we do at White Apple Institute, but it also helps with the stipends that we provide for students to continue their education. If you're interested in what services, what resources are available to adult learners, and especially our student veterans out there, our student veterans are extremely important because they've served our country, like myself and many of the people on the boards and committees of White Apple Institute, and we are concerned that our student veterans, especially those with disabilities, may not be able to engage in education, especially higher education and the workforce, because of different stress issues that they're going through. And that stress is compounded by the impending potential of a conflict with Syria. I know our President Obama is very careful about using the word war, and it looks like many of our politicians are being very careful about using that word. But definitely a conflict exists, and a conflict exists because we are being told again, the American people are being told again, that there are weapons of mass destruction. And just the mention of weapons of mass destruction, I mean, think about that concept for a minute. It can generate all kinds of negative feelings, all kinds of frustration in our spirits, just thinking about the suffering that takes place with these, what they call WMDs. And so with that, I think it's really important just to examine some of the trigger words that have been coming out in the media that are causing our students, our adult learners, and especially student veterans, who many of our student veterans may be eligible to have to return to a warlike, okay, I'll say warlike situation, which already, if you think about it, my friends, if you know a veteran out there that is eligible for return and he's already or she has already gone through the Iraq and Afghanistan issues, give him a hug, because I guarantee you that there is some stress related to the fact that there is an impending warlike situation happening in Syria. So why is stress such a tremendous ordeal? Why do we continually go back and forth at White Apple Institute addressing stress issues? One of the reasons why is because stress and anxiety, 90%, oh gosh, I'm going to say 99% of the time, can lead to depression and bipolar disorder being activated, and especially for those who are trying to survive through bipolar disorder and PTSD and many of the other anxiety mood disorders without medication. And so when we have things in our environment that are triggering a response in our brains, this becomes a very serious thing for White Apple Institute staff members, the counselors, because our goal is to bring a student from a stressful state of mind into a very productive state of mind. And so we must address anything that interrupts that flow. God bless you for listening this morning, because the reason why you're listening to this is because you have already decided somewhere in your thinking that when you place the words Syria or students and teachers, stress and violence, veterans, whatever you place in your computer browser to come up with this show, or for those of you who are loyal listeners out there and live callers, and don't let me forget, before I get into talking more about the stress level, I don't want to forget to let you know that the chat room is open. And so if for those of you that don't want to join us live on the show, please feel free to chat with us online without having to share your voice. And we do everything anonymously. Our switchboard is filling up, and I'm going to try to get to everyone this morning as I can. And so just feel free to call in. If you're on the computer, call in with your comments on the on whether or not you think that stress is making an impact on our adult students as it relates to war, impending war, warlike circumstances. See, students in classes from preschool to graduate levels experience the impact of stress, and the impact of stress related to things that are just going on in their environment, daily activities. Because if you remember some time back, especially some of my students who are listening to the show may remember that stress is associated with a marriage or a funeral with the same kind of biological reaction. So stress is not new to the body, and as a matter of fact, our Creator made sure that we had hormonal levels and chemical levels in our body to balance out stress and to balance out depression and different emotional challenges. Yes, isn't that a beautiful thing that our Creator put in place for us already? However, stress is the way it relates to not only our environment but to the violence in our environment becomes a very negative issue, and that negative stress is what we're concerned about as far as how it impacts productivity in the classroom, how it impacts performance. And this is for, this has been recorded in research that even preschoolers to adult learners at graduate levels are in somehow experiencing the stress related to any type of violence. And you know, we've been talking about violence a lot, especially with the schools and different people being shot and killed innocently because of gun control laws not being in place correctly, because of the violence perpetuated in our society. We also know that any type of trauma, whether or not a person experiences the trauma themselves or sees other people in trauma, we have recorded research that says that when you are looking at or thinking about the trauma of another individual, it does in some way impact you. Now, I'm going to come back to that later because we found out some interesting things about why some people are not impacted as heavily as others in regards to war or violence or trauma. You know, stress is subjective, my friends. It's individual. Everybody experiences it differently, reacts differently to it, based on their genetic makeup, based on their personality, and all of the experiences that they've had in their environment, from the time, from the prenatal experiences to the developmental process. So we all have some idea of what stress can do in our environment. Now I'm going to take you into understanding how it feels for adult learners, especially our student veterans, with another specific part of stress that they have to deal with. You see, when you're handling the everyday pressures of work and school schedules, that's a tremendous amount of pressure right there. Now you take the adult learner who is dealing with a change in life to roll up their sleeves and say, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to finish a degree I started some time ago, or more, most importantly, that I'm going to overcome some challenges that I've been dealing with disability, especially emotions, whether I'm diagnosed with bipolar disorder or PTSD. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to go back and I'm going to overcome those challenges enough to succeed at school and work. Boy, that's tremendous. Now add to that pot having children and trying to get children out to school and to daycare and managing a relationship with a spouse. These are tremendous amounts of pressure that adult learners experience in the learning process that sets them aside from the general population of students. In addition, oh wow, am I loading it on this morning? Okay, yes, the professor is speaking here and I'm loading it on because here I'm gonna really tell you, on top of all of that, the adult learner who is a student veteran now comes into the picture with trying to adjust to civilian life, to a whole different culture. And if you know anything about cultural shock or cultural change, it is dramatic and it is very, very stressful. to come from one culture to another. And what do I mean by that? So I want to make sure that I clarify, because so many people think that culture is associated with ethnicity or race, and it is not, my friends. Culture in itself is how we believe and how we value and our attitudes about what we believe and value in life. It has very little to do with the influence of race and ethnicity. However, there are some instances where people do follow a certain trend because of the way they were raised and because of the ethnic group they belong to, but you'll find diversions there too. Because culture is so very, very unique to the individual. So we're talking about student veterans coming into a culture shock of moving from military life to civilian life, in addition to managing family and managing work and school schedules and all of the pressures that are involved in that. How do they get through it? Well, I have some interesting stories that have come in of veterans, student veterans who have done wonderful job, with learning how to survive through school and work without any type of regret of the sacrifice that they've made, not only to country, but to their family. So here's what I'd like you to do for a moment. For those of you that take notes during our radio broadcast, especially those students that are in psychology or sociology classes, whatever, make sure you do some research on post-traumatic stress disorder and understand a little bit more about how that is affecting adult learners, especially student veterans. And don't make the assumption, please, that PTSD is only related to student veterans, because it is not. PTSD has been associated with any type of trauma that comes up for us from the past. Okay? So right now we're going to make sure that you at least promise yourselves in the next couple of weeks or so to do some research on PTSD and adult learners and student veterans, and come across our website at whiteappleinstitute.org and see how you can support the work there. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into a political discussion about the rights or wrongs about Syria, Iran, Afghanistan, and many of the other African countries. All of them we can look at as far as a need for humanitarian intervention. All of them, any type of war situation. However, there's a lot of frustration coming out, from what I understand, from the students sharing that many of them are afraid, the student veterans are afraid of having to go back into a warlike situation and losing their momentum, their motivation to continue in school, because they feel that they could be pulled away at any moment. And that's not a very comfortable feeling. And this is an ongoing attitude that many veterans feel, because if they're of age, that they feel that they could be pulled back at any time. And so it kind of interrupts the flow of our daily activities, especially work and school. And so we want to make sure that we encourage them to contact us at White Apple Institute and to go to our website yourselves and make a donation to support our efforts to help our fellow veterans to survive successfully in school. Without further ado, I'd like to at least get in one of our callers here and at least say good morning. And we're very proud that there are people calling in this morning. Hello, this is Dr. Applewhite And is this 216?
Yes, good morning.
I just wanted to make sure you're enjoying the show this morning. I know you've been holding on for quite a while, and I wanted to know if you had any issues that you're dealing with as far as the impact of stress. And feel free to share your name if you'd like. If not, that's okay. Are you dealing with anything that is stressful in your work or school environment, or do you know someone who is stressed out?
Well, the good question would be if I didn't know anybody that wasn't stressed out.
Oh.
I believe in this day and age, everybody has some type of stress.
I see. Okay, so that's a very good point. As I brought out earlier in the show, ma'am, that their stress is definitely there for all of us. We feel it, and it's subjective. It's individualized for each individual person. But here's the key, is that what we're talking about today is how stress relates to the ongoing war issues that are going on. So I want you to stay tuned and listen more as we talk to other people. I think we have a veteran that will be joining us this morning from the Professional Advisory Committee at White Apple Institute, and he'll be talking to us more about the impact of stress, and then we'll come back to you. Is that all right?
Yes, that is.
Oh, thank you. All right. We have a 480 number here, and I believe this is Mr. Jim, and we will call him in now. Mr. Jim, this is Dr. Applewhite. Is that you on the line there?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Jim Richardson. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was over in Vietnam very early, in the early 60s, and I've seen a lot of things that did have an impact on my life today. There are a lot of veterans from that era that are suffering from PTSD. PTSD.
Uh-huh.
I can certainly understand why. It was a police action. It never was declared a war. But believe me, it does have an impact on the people that were over there and seeing what went on. Mm-hmm. It's really a thing that we have to deal with and live with. And I have learned how to accept what's going on in the world. It's very scary at this time. Most Americans are very concerned about our relationship that we are experiencing with Syria and the different other powers of the earth. And we're just going to have to use our good common sense and try to get out of the situation that we're in.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I appreciate you calling in this morning, Jim, especially being a fellow veteran, and that we both understand the impact of war, especially on our veterans that are trying to go to school and trying to fit into a civilian lifestyle and domestic responsibilities. And it's tough to come back from any war experience and have to adjust to civilian life. And then I guess the help us out with this, the sensitivity or the lack of sensitivity of many of our instructors in school or training type situations. I remember you told me you went through many years of training, and so you yourself went to school. And I'm just wondering, did stress impact the way that you were progressing in your programs?
Most definitely. As I said earlier, Doctor, the impact it had had on me and many, many other veterans in that era, it had a profound effect on the way I thought, the way I believed. So, you know, we're just going to have to pull together and stay focused and follow what our Creator wants us to do. And
so you feel that getting you through, helping you to overcome the stress of war. And I bring this up, and let me ask you this question. I want to make sure our listeners are clear on the fact that even though we're talking about Vietnam veterans, the students that many of the students that come to White Apple Institute are have served in Vietnam, and many of them are in their 50s and 60s. And it's so interesting that you came on the show today, because people need to recognize that adult learners don't necessarily mean someone who's 18 or to 25, that adult learners are people who have many, many experiences in life. And so with that, I'm kind of like associating the fact that even though you were in the weapons of mass destruction. So all of that plays a big part in stress levels. So I come back to you to ask a question. Are you saying that the way that you were able to come over the stress and frustration of getting through school programs, job training programs, or whatever, is because of your faith, your value systems, your beliefs? Is that what you're trying to say to me?
Yes, ma'am. It has a great part in my behavior. I can certainly understand now the high school kids, for example, when they graduate from high school, they're faced with a dilemma. Mm-hmm. You know, many of them can't find work. Mm-hmm. But this is the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and we're going through some very trying times with the scare of nuclear war. It's so close. We constantly have to live with that, and it has an effect on all of us to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on how you handle stress.
Yes.
It's something that we all are learning together to be able to cope with it. And I certainly can understand why people are really concerned and scared, you might say, of what's going to happen tomorrow. Because it seems like every day we turn on the TV or read in the paper about something that we never thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just have to pull together and do what we can to just try to coexist and do the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
I congratulate you and salute you on the work that you're doing, Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you very much. One of the students that wrote in the situation was reflected a number of times in different things that I've researched and read out there. And one of them is that that we find that even with, like I said earlier, the Vietnam vets or Iraq, Afghanistan, any of our soldiers who have fought in any of the wars, trying to bring civil obedience to certain countries in Africa, Egypt, or whatever, we find that there are many, many implications that are happening for stress to affect the way that we interact with our world. One veteran has written in that in basic training, he says, this is his writing, in basic training he felt wonderful. He felt physically perfect, mentally alert. Naturally, there was a certain amount of brainwashing, he says, that goes through basic training, because they would constantly pound it into you that you have to kill to survive. You know you are going to Vietnam or any of the other places that we mentioned, and you are going to fight a war, and all you are going to do is kill, kill, kill. And this is a tremendous statement that this veteran has made, and we appreciate him submitting this to one of the students at Bryn Mawr College, Stephanie Habilo. wrote this in to us. And it's a compelling story because it shows that not only does combat itself become a traumatic experience, but just the thought of combat, just the preparation that you go through to go to war or to prepare yourself for war seems to make an impact. And I believe that that same issue is existing for adult learners when they're talking about the stress of going to school and their future. And I want to piggyback on something that you said, Jim, a little earlier about adjusting to getting a job and having a better life when you get out of the service. Because one of the things that's happening right now as we speak is that the job market and the economic structure of our country, of course, is being affected by the pending or the potential conflict in Syria that could cause us to go to a warlike situation. So you bring up a good point about the jobs and the stress of competition that's going on. We thank you very much for joining. So we're going to come back to you, Jim. So I hope you stay on the line for a little bit. I want to make sure that I get another caller in right now that's hanging on the line here. And this is Dr. Applewhite. Hello. It looks like an Arizona number here. A 238. Good morning.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you were talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I too am a child of the Vietnam era, and I graduated high school in 1966. And 10 years later, in 1976, when we were celebrating the bicentennial, I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C.
Yes, yes. How does that relate to the stress factor, my dear? And you can share your name if you wish, but how does that relate to the stress factor? I'm sorry. I don't know if my voice
While I was there, I visited the Vietnam Memorial, which is basically just a giant slab of black granite, which is very impressive to see. But it's inscribed with the names of all the people who served and died in Vietnam. And they have a booklet there that's listed by name so that you can perhaps find the name of your friend or loved one who died. And one name in particular stood out for me. He was voted class clown in our high school. So, you know, I also noted in the booklet that the average age of the person who died in that conflict was 19. And it struck me as particularly sad that these people died before they ever even began their potential in life. And we as a nation lost so much, how do I put this? We lost our future. And this particular gentleman did not make it home to see his baby born. So war affects not just the people who are participating in it, but anyone who is in a war or a conflict, it affects the people who care about them, the people who grew up with them, the people who may be married to them or be siblings, parents, aunts, uncles. So the stress of war affects everybody around them. And the fact that we have been living for so long now in a stressful situation. I spoke to a young man who's just about to turn 11 and asked him how these wars and rumors of wars were affecting him. And he sort of shrugged and said, it's just the way it is. And I, as shocked as I was, I realized this poor young fellow has never lived in a time where there wasn't conflict in the world. There wasn't the potential of him never growing up. And
we appreciate your not only your compassion but your interest in the subject. And I'm assuming that you're not a veteran yourself, but you're sharing stories that that have affected you from different veterans. And you hit on something, and I want to bring that out a little bit more, because many military families listen to our show also. And it's important that I take a little time right now to just overview some of the things that we need to be to look at when we see them in our environment. Okay, and part of it is the sadness and depression or that you're expressing on the line today, and we thank you for that, because that opens up doors for other people to share how they feel. And so this is one of the things that I want families, and certainly, and I'm going to get into our teachers out there, teachers at all levels, and especially at the higher education level, to look at some of these things and recognize that if someone is a veteran, it's very, very serious. In addition, but all adult learners experience stress at different levels. And what we want to do is make sure that we are aware of some of the symptoms that we see. You know, we're always going to see difficulty completing tasks. I mean, that's that comes with just, you know, having difficulties at home, something could be going wrong. But when we see a difficulty completing task and concentration levels, just a irritable nature, a lot of sadness, then that's time to really take a second look at what a person's going through in your home that you know of, or that if you're experiencing that yourself as an adult learner. If you're feeling a sense of powerlessness, if you're feeling a sense of hopelessness, okay? And I mean, it goes to from one extreme to the other. It's almost like you'll find yourself at points emotionally numb to things that are going on. And I'll tell you something. I remember I asked a parent to call in this Saturday for this live show and talk about the emotional numbing that she had expressed with, I believe, her 10- or 11-year-old son, who I'll let her talk about that later. But there is a numbing that happens to people in these times, especially those that have only known war and violence in their lives. I mean, you think about it for a moment. Our children, our future adult learners, are exposed to violence and acts of war, whether it's in their own schoolyard or in their community or abroad, on a constant level. You cannot turn on the internet or the television without seeing these things going on. And it is affecting the way people perform at school, and it's affecting their fear and anxiety levels about the future. That's right, about the future. And so, you know, these are just things to look for if they're having difficulty sleeping or you see an increase in drug use. And that does not mean the street drug use. I'm talking about prescription drug use. If you see an increase in that excessiveness, seeing someone withdraw, these are things that that can affect us and affect the way that people get back into or yearn to get back into the routine of life and can't because they're stuck by the stress factors that are going on in their life. So we need to help people to understand how to deal with stress a little differently. And one of the ways, because I have to watch our time here on the show because I want to make sure that we get other callers on the line. So one of the ways that we can help is to listen. We can listen to what people are saying. Talk about it. So if you are experiencing some of the things that I talked about a little earlier, then maybe I'm encouraging you to talk to a trusted friend, a trusted relative, and to understand that it's not a sign of weakness because you talk to somebody about what's happening with you getting to school. It does not mean that's, you don't want to talk to anybody that has the potential to encourage you to drop out of your program. You want to look for people that are going to motivate and encourage you. And most importantly, I encourage you, if you are the one or you know someone who's experiencing some of the symptoms I talked about earlier, to take care of their physical health. That's very important. That's actually, number one is your spiritual health, your relationship with God, the Creator, and also your physical health. You have to take care of those things in order to take care of your family and to go to school and succeed in the workforce. Those are important things. And limit your exposure to the news, you know, especially while you're dealing with school and work schedules that are just exceedingly pressure-filled for you. Try to avoid that, because what happens is they become triggers, especially for our student veterans out there with PTSD issues. And I want to encourage you to do something positive out there. Take some time during the week and do something positive that will help you to relax and just feel comfortable in your own skin. Find some activities that are outside of school and work and family pressure. It can involve your family, but it can't be a pressure-filled situation. And go and do something very spontaneous for a moment. And most of all, my friends, is this issue of seeking treatment. Now, seeking treatment is very, very difficult for many people, and it has become increasingly difficult in this day and age, because we are seeing that many people, the news media, without intention, I'm sure, to create fear and anxiety, has continued to perpetuate violence out there and show it on the news constantly. And so you become overwhelmed with it. So the other part of that is that many people are not encouraged to seek treatment because of what they see on the news. If you're seeing recently, I believe we saw a young man who went into a school in Georgia with a rifle and started to shoot and didn't hurt any children, thank God, but he was very upset and brought attention to the issues of bipolar and schizophrenia. These are negative implications. The most positive implication is the factor that there is treatment out there, there's treatment available, and you must begin to recognize that instead of grabbing on to the negative attention that's out there on any kind of mental health disorder or emotional challenge or stress, that we're encouraging you at White Apple Institute to look at ways that you can seek treatment without feeling uncomfortable, okay? And if you have any problem with that, make sure you contact us at whiteappleinstitute.org or call in to 480-471-8082. And, of course, for those of you who are listening out there, also make sure that you help us with this work by your donation. All right, I talked a little bit about the family issue. I want to make sure that I put a little blurb in for helping the adult learner, especially for instructors out there, for teachers. I want to encourage you to please learn about your adult learner. Yes, learn about them, ask them the right questions. It's more than just choosing the right curriculum. It's about making sure that the person is able to comprehend what you're teaching based on their experience and on their environment. And you know, it wouldn't hurt for instructors at higher education levels and job training programs, and I've done this myself with many of the students through the years, is I integrate stress reduction techniques in the curriculum. There's nothing wrong with encouraging your students to take moments away. That may be the only moment that they have of sitting in that classroom and actually doing a stress reduction exercise. And, of course, any of you instructors out there, counselors that want more information, if you don't already have it, you know how to access it. But, you know, of course, I'm available for consultation. And you can contact me at whiteappleinstitute.org. Okay, well, I want to get back to, I believe there's a parent that will be, that's calling in, and maybe our producer, Malvina Sullivan, can help us out with getting in touch with her or sharing her story. Malvina, are you there? Okay. She'll be coming on in just a moment.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, what I wanted to ask you about was, because I believe, not to put you on the spot, but I believe you're dealing with a similar situation that came into us this week with another adult learner who had a son who was talking about the, I guess, word that I use, emotional numbness. So I wanted to, do you have any comments on that, and can you elaborate a little bit further on your own experiences with your child?
Well, when this topic came up this week, I decided to ask my son, who was 10 years old, how did he feel about the war and if it was being discussed in his classroom. And he was kind of nonchalant about it, saying that, I mean, he's concerned about the children's well-being in these areas of war, but he said it's just life. And it kind of made me feel kind of strange about that. I didn't know how to interpret that, but then I thought about it. With him being 10 years old, all he knows is war. Ever since he's been born, we've been at war. So I believe that he's kind of numb to it because this is all he knows, which is kind of scary in a sense.
Yes, I can understand that. One of the things that I noted in, as far as the symptoms of stress is that emotional numbness. And, boy, my heart goes out to any of the parents out there that may be listening because I know that we do a lot of work with the Living Tree Foundation with Dr. Michael. And many parents listen to our show from his network, and I'm sure this is going to help them to understand that this emotional numbness is a negative impact of stress, and that is something to truly look at. So thank you very much for sharing that. One of the things that I hope that you'll get from the show, which I'm getting ready to go over right now, is some of the ways that we can combat these issues of the emotional numbness we talked about, the restlessness, the lack of sleep. And one of the things that I really want to bring out most importantly is that there's an underlying current that I see in many of the students, and that is that they have a lack of understanding about pain, a lack of understanding about suffering and what that really is. Many of us who are baby boomers or even younger, 30s, late 20s, that have in some way experienced the horrors of war may know a little bit more than the up-and-coming student. I think you said your son was 10 years old, and I know the lady that wrote in to the show, her son was like 11 years old. So these are important points to bring out is, you know, that these are young people, these are our future adult learners, and if they're experiencing the symptoms of stress, how much more are our adult learners, and what's going to happen in our future? So I'd like you to really work very, very hard on sensitizing your son, and I recommend this for all our listeners out there, sensitizing ourselves, period, to understanding stress and to understanding how important it is for you to learn how to overcome the issues of stress in this day and age, especially with all the conflicts going on. I know that one of the things that I'm hearing, too, is the arguments, the political arguments that are going on about whether or not to bomb Syria or not to bomb Syria or to go into other countries for humanitarian efforts. This is stressful in itself, too. And so I know and I empathize with all of you out there that are dealing with it, but I'm also saying to you that there's a key to adapting to our circumstances. And one of them is that understanding that adaptation is absolutely necessary in this day and age. This is what God is telling me to share with you this morning, is that when we adapt to a circumstance, it means that, going back to the old serenity prayer, God granting us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change and the courage to change the things that we can, and knowing the difference between the two. And so this is what I'm asking all of you to do out there, is to understand that, okay, we cannot change the political arguments that are going on out there. We can't help the fact that we have children that have been born and developed in war times. We can't change those things, but what we can change is our attitude, about the way we believe and what we value as important. And we can find ways to relax ourselves. We have to. That's the only way that we're going to get through this. And reach out and touch someone. Don't forget how important that is. Get off that the texts and the Facebooks for a moment and the social media, and go out and really talk to individuals. And if you do use social media, use it in a way that's very productive. Send people the show, okay? Let them know that there is a way to deal with stressful symptoms today. Now, I want to make sure, Navina, is there anything else that you want to add to that? I hope that helped out in some way. Can you do some relaxation exercises with your son?
Yes, I will try those relaxation exercises with him to desensitize him to the fact of war, because it's not a natural state of being.
Good point, and definitely sensitize. He, it sounds like he is already desensitized, so we're going to sensitize him a little bit more. Not to traumatize him, of course, because we have to be careful of how much information we share. You know, as a parent, that's something that's very common, is that we share maybe too much information. But at least enough where he understands that if he's dealing with the symptoms of stress, that he needs to be able to talk about it, and talk about how it's affecting him, that there are children, students in other places that are going, that are feeling the impact of war. One organization I can't help but mention is the IAMSyria.org, I believe it is. And check it out. Yeah, I'm putting in a plug for them because I think that they do marvelous work with students out there. And, of course, for our student veterans, we want to encourage you to join your local Disabled American Veterans chapter. For you women out there, the American Women Veterans Association, if you need any help in getting in contact with those organizations in your area, please contact us here at White Apple Institute. Let's get back to Jim for a moment, because as a veteran, and he will be able to share a little bit more, just wrapping up how he feels about the show today, and whether or not we've said some things that may help his fellow veterans. Jim, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm still here. I'm sitting here listening to the broadcast, and I can't help but think, you know, what really helped me deal with stress then and now is the fact that I'm very patriotic. I believe in our country. Vietnam veterans were the same way. And I want to take a moment to say thank you to the Vietnam veterans that came home. Welcome home. You know, you deserve every good thing that happens to you, because you did defend our country in time of police action. We're talking about war. Vietnam was police action, as Korea was. And the situations that we're in today, they're very apprehensive to talk about war, but we definitely are faced with that reality on a day-to-day basis. And as I said earlier, I salute White Apple Institute for the work that they're doing, and I'm going to send in a generous donation
Thank you.
And I believe that we all need to pull together at this time, especially the student veterans and the disabled American veterans and disabled American people that are in school and trying to get a higher education, that we need to pull together at this time and help one another.
All right. Well, we appreciate your comments today. And I tell you something, we are not, I understand why you emphasize the Vietnam War veterans, because they do not get enough recognition. And I was seeing that just the other day when I saw an advertisement that said, if you served in Iran and Afghanistan, and the first thing that came across my mind was the fact that what about all the other veterans who have served? We can't forget them either. And so there needs to be a full swing of benefits that are available for all of us to not only get to school with tuition and books, but also to get to the right counseling resources when stress is affecting us in any type of wartime or any type of violent times as we're dealing with now in our society. So thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. We are getting ready to close our show, and one of the things that we do very effectively on the Student to Teacher radio show is that we encourage people to recognize that they are students and teachers, and at different times of their life. You are a student if you are learning, and you are a teacher if you are sharing. And that's what all of us did this morning, is we have students and we have teachers and we continuously evolve. We continuously begin to share the light. I think that if anything that Jim and Malvina and a few other people that called in this morning, I want to share with you, because I know it takes a lot to call into a live show between 10 and 11 a.m. on Saturday morning, but I really appreciate you sharing the light, because as Marion Williamson, one of my favorite people, has said, when you share the light with others, you unconsciously give permission for others to share their light. We have another caller online. I have not been able to get to you, and I want to get to you just before we close here. Please forgive me. 111. You're online. This is Dr. Applewhite.
Loretha Young.
Oh, Loretha Young. Thank you so much for coming on board this morning. And I believe you have something very, very interesting to share with us as in regards to the Professional Advisory Committee, okay, for White Apple Institute. So thank you for joining. Come on, give us some news here, my friend.
I'm the chair of the student advisory, the White Apple Student Advisory Committee. And what we're trying to do is be out there for disabled veterans and adult learners, disabled veterans and disabled adult learners, to try to be a source, a referral source or an advocate, to help get them through some issues that they may be experiencing in their life or, in their educational life or home life. So, we encourage everyone, who may be experiencing some difficulty to contact White Apple Institute so that they can also get involved with the committee. It is a good committee, and we're trying to make it stronger, and we encourage anyone, who would like to participate to do that.
Thank you so much for your input this morning, Loretha. White Apple Institute.